going, we did through John 15:1, the true vine, and let me remind you again, though it's not something you delight to hear, that branches that don't bear fruit are cut off and thrown into the fire. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, whatever it sounds like. That there is punishment for disobeying Jesus.
Yeah.
There is not any reward for an unfruitful branch. He's the vine, and the branches are given their life by the vine. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? So to stay with him is to have life. Not to abide in the vine is to bring death and destruction. And now, Bert, did you give everybody one of those printouts that you had?
Not everybody.
Try to catch them as they go. You have some more. Try to catch them as they go out. Bert Robinson gave us some printouts on the importance of you contacting those who have the authority over you to stop this homosexual marriage junk. So if you're interested in preserving some holiness in your nation, well, he will be there to give you. You have copies, right? Yes, ma'am? Okay. You see him. We had talked and begun, I had begun to mention, and we will spend probably today and maybe probably next week. I don't think I can get through those in Revelation. But if you would look back at Exodus chapter 3, this is the first statement of the I am. And in this particular part of the scripture, you find the word holy for the first time. Exodus chapter 3, and our verse is verse 14. But verses 1 through 4, Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, reading quickly. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, came to Horeb, which is the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord. Now, anytime you find the angel of the Lord, it is a pre-incarnate, before Bethlehem, appearance of the Lord Jesus. He is referred to and identified in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. And we don't know what he looked like, but we know if it says the angel of the Lord, then just believe it. It's so much simpler for us to believe the Bible than it is to get our ignorance mixed up with its divinity. Because there's no way that you can explain God. If you could explain God, you'd be very dangerous. You'd be writing more books and making more videos than the whole world could buy if you could understand God. But his ways are higher than ours, so he is Lord, so just let it go at that. But he says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire. From the midst of a bush, he looked and the bush was burning, but the bush wasn't consumed. Moses said, I'm going to look, just turn around and look at this. Why didn't that bush burn? So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush, and he says, Moses, Moses, here I am. He said, don't draw near this place. Take the sandals from off of your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And I believe that's the first time the word holy is found in the scripture. It's not a word anybody wants to hear. You talk about holiness and they'll turn you off in a flash. That's true. But the New Testament teaches us without holiness, Hebrews 12:14, without holiness or sanctification in some translations, no one will see the Lord. And yet we carry on and say, oh, I want to see him. Well, if you want to see him, you better take a look at what this holiness is all about. And it's not dress code, though I want to tell you something, friends. Modesty is a requirement for Christianity. And it's just gone down the tube. There's more nude people and half-nude people on the television. It's just discouraging. But anyway, holiness is a lifestyle of obedience that pleases the Lord and blesses us with his presence. Bert, isn't that a good definition?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Holiness is a lifestyle of obedience to the Lord that pleases him and blesses us with fellowship with him. So that is the first thing. Well, why would there be a pillar of fire? God's judgment, God's presence has always been manifest with some kind of light or fire. That's an interesting thing to go through the whole Testament. We'll talk about probably next week the bright morning star, and he is the light of the world. They didn't have any electricity. They didn't have any gas lamps. They didn't have any kerosene. The light that they had there was that fire. And Our God is a consuming fire. We read that back way over into Hebrews. You remember that he was a pillar of fire by night and at Mount Sinai and the giving of the law. We will have Bible study Tuesday night at my house, and we'll be getting into Exodus 19, the giving of the Ten Commandments. But there was always there a pillar of fire by night and a cloud covering by day. You see, God is a God of whatever he needs to be, to do, to manifest himself. See, he's God all by himself. I heard I can't remember the guy's name now. I used to listen to him. I can't remember. His son took his place. But he'd say, God is never in a hurry. God is never late. He's God when he gets there.
That's right.
He is an all complete being that ever graced the earth. The only one who is complete within himself. Our God is awesome. The fire continues, and like I said here, the most important word for the church is the word holy. It is in 50 books of the 66 books of the Bible, and about 600 times in the Bible you'll find the word holy. Does that make it important? Okay, I think it does. Moses hears the instruction, and I want you to look in verse 13. Moses, well, we need to look a little. He said, who am I, verse 11, that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? I will certainly be with you, the Lord said. I'll be with you, and this shall be a sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what's his name? He said, well, who sent me? You know, Moses was a pretty reasonable person. He needed some answers. How many of you have ever been where you need some answers?
Yeah.
You know, not to have answers sometimes makes you appear very foolish.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses was pretty conservative here. He said, well, who am I going to say sent me? And this is the first great statement in the scripture, that I am who I am. God said to Moses, if you don't have this scripture marked in your Bible, you need to mark it and meditate on it. God said to Moses, I am who I am. No more questions asked. I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel that I am sent me. So Moses got his instructions. I am sent me. You see, the Lord is not to be defined. The Lord is not to be determined by anybody else's definition or evaluation. He is self-existent. He is always existent. And the memorial to all generations and to us here today, and all of the people who have ever heard of him, that he is I am. I heard this on television this morning. I don't remember who said it. It's not I will be. It's not I used to be. It's not I hope to be. It's not I plan to be. What is it? I am. Period. No questions asked. And you know, we said, well, I don't understand that. You're not saved by what you understand. You're saved by what you believe. And you have to come to him as a little child. Jesus said, unless you come to me as a little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. See, a child does not question why daddy is daddy and why mama is mama. It's just an existing relationship, and this is an existing relationship. You don't need to turn there, but just let me remind you that Paul said in the Mars Hill experience there, they had some plaques or some acknowledgement to the unknown God, and Paul talked with them, and then he said this wonderful thing, and you should sing it, say it, memorize it, repeat it. In him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move. We used to sing that. And have our being. That settles it. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. We could go talk on and on and on about that, but that pretty much settles it, doesn't it? I am sent Moses. And I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. If God had not spoken that to Moses, and if Moses had not obeyed, and if the children of Israel had not come out of Egypt, and if God hadn't preserved a remnant there of them, well, they were totally in unbelief at times. You know, they fussed about everything. I said they fussed about everything. They griped and they complained. And the bodies of many of them were found in the desert. Only two of the original bunch, over 20. Oh, only two. And if you count those numbers, man, there are humongous numbers there. But two went into the promised land. And you see, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said, these things happened to them as examples to us.
Uh-huh.
Well, if they didn't get the inheritance because they didn't believe and obey, what does that say to us? Somebody tell me, what does that say to us? Same thing. Jesus said, if you obey me, then you are my disciples, my followers indeed. And obedience is something else that doesn't really, you know, give anybody any goosebumps. It doesn't. It doesn't. Obedience is not an exciting word. Is it? But it's a requirement. This do and live. So you can't make it frou-frou. You know, American Christianity, and I'm not talking about anybody's church, but American Christianity has come to a place of wanting to be blessed, excited, entertained. Right? Well, see, that's not our first need. Our first need is to be taught, to be edified, to be instructed in righteousness, because that's what Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, all Scripture. And he didn't have any Old Testament, any New Testament. Didn't have any idea that he was writing it. So all Scripture, and even the Gospels hadn't been written. So all Scripture that Paul was writing to Timothy about was the Old Testament. And modern Christians say, oh, don't give me that's Old Testament. Don't give me that. I don't want to hear it. That's the Old Testament. But keep your ignorance to yourself. That is as ignorant a statement as you can possibly make. Am I offending you? Well, it's true anyway. If Paul, the Apostle Paul, the greatest preacher other than Jesus that ever lived, if he told Timothy that the Old Testament is profitable, it's useful for correction, for reproof, for exhortation, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped.
Amen.
That means the women too. That the people of God, because of the instructions of the Old Testament. Well, if he could say that about the Old Testament, my, what he would have said about the New Testament if he had known that it was going to be in print. When Paul wrote those letters, he didn't know God was going to print them. People are just mean as yard dogs. They were devouring one another. They were criticizing one another. They were disobeying what they knew to be right. They had crazy ideas at Colossae and Ephesus, and especially at the time of 1 John. They did not want to give Jesus any fullness of the Godhead.
Amen.
So Paul sat down, and, oh, I tell you what, I'm so excited about Colossians. He made the most wonderful statements about the Lord Jesus in the book of Colossians. All of the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. And other descriptions that we have. So we need to be more dedicated to learning and obeying than any of the people that have even gone before us, because we need to be such a shining example to those who are up in front of us. You understand what I'm saying? It's not what we do in church, it's what we demonstrate when we get out of church. And obedience. Back in the Old Testament, said it's obedience is better than sacrifice. I want to do a teaching, if you'll give me permission, on 1 Corinthians 13, on about the it's about change, really, and how we need to be changed so that we can love one another. And so it all fits into that.
The verse right before 2 Timothy, where it talks about all Scripture, is really valuable, because he says, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures."
From childhood.
Which are able to make you wise for salvation.
Make you wise for salvation.
Which is in Christ Jesus. Then he goes.
That's 2 Timothy what chapter?
2 Timothy 3:16, the verse right before all Scripture.
Yeah, I did a teaching one time on all the 3:16s in the Bible, and that got exciting too. And that Timothy is one of the 3:16s.
That's pretty powerful, you know, when it
from childhood, Paul writes to Timothy. Now, Timothy's a preacher. Paul has groomed him. He's a preacher. From childhood, you have known the whole Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, he says. And you see, these Scriptures are given to us for our instruction, that God is a holy God. And he said, take your shoes off. Moses says, holy ground. Why was it holy ground? Because he was there. Because he was there. And we just thank the Lord for his faithfulness. You see, if God hadn't told Moses this, and if Moses hadn't obeyed, and if there had not been a remnant of Israel, despite their unbelief, if there had not been a remnant preserved, there'd be no church. Think about that. Aren't you glad there was a remnant preserved? Now look at John chapter 8, and we could talk some more about that. I am food, I am water, I am bread, I'm the sheep, I'm the shepherd, I'm the door, I'm the resurrection and the life. Could get real excited about that. The way, the truth, and the life, the true vine. He is everything. Mm-hmm. He is food, water, refreshment, direction, life, life eternal. He's the way to get there. And he is the vine that you're to grow on. But he says, before Abraham was, I am. Now that just, I just got excited about that. Before Abraham was, I am. In the seven I ams, you see, we have everything, nothing lacking. And why we don't have what the I am say is because we don't get into it, we don't seek after it, so that we don't possess it. Mm-hmm. You can have as much of this as you want.
That's right.
Your growth in the knowledge and the obedience of the Word of God depends on you. Nobody can, you know, there in 1 John it says, he who has this hope in him, that is of seeing him, that's John chapter, 1 John chapter 3, don't look, but it doesn't tell you what it says there. What manner of love God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and we are. Mm-hmm. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when we see him, we'll be like him.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And he who has this hope in him purifies himself. See, you get what you want out of this wonderful book. You have what you want. And if you want it, you will get it. This conversation in John chapter 8, verse 58, and we have already quoted it, says, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Now this goes back, if you'll just glance back at chapter 8, verse 37, and so we can understand the setting of this. Now, Jesus is talking to the Jews who are opposing him. He said, I know you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. These were the people he was sent to, but they didn't receive him because they didn't receive his word. I speak what I have seen my Father, have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your father. And they said, Abraham's our father. Jesus said, then if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, what's the works of Abraham? Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. If you were Abraham's children, then you would believe God. And what Jesus is getting to them, that is who he is. Because he said, I only do what I see my father do. And if his father is God, and they claim to be Abraham's children, well, then they're not even keeping up with their own identification, with their own calling. Continuing. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And then they said, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Well, you know what they were hinting at. That they were not born out of wedlock. That he was conceived out of wedlock, and they continued to throw that up to him. Because they did not, listen to me, friends, they did not believe the prophet Isaiah. Call themselves so mighty in scholarship. Mm-hmm. Oh, so learned.
Yeah.
Go to the meeting place, to the synagogues, and read from the prophets, and completely disbelieve what Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive.
Thank you, Lord.
Doesn't that excite you a little bit?
Yeah.
A virgin shall conceive. Isn't that amazing? How tradition and religion can blind people from seeing the truth as it blinded them from seeing the truth. He came just exactly. You know, Jesus has an identification in all of the books of the Bible. All the Old Testament prophets. There was something in each one of them that identified this coming Messiah. I have them printed out. I've got, I think, probably 100 copies in my briefcase here. If you're interested in one, I'll give you one. Some of you have them because I've been passing them out for years. But from the seed of the woman in Genesis to the bright morning star in Revelation. And yet, they could not believe in him. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
but you know, you see population running all over the place today, and you see churches on every corner, and there are many good Christians. There are Christians who are witnesses of this salvation. And yet, the majority of the people of our generation could care less. How do I know that for sure? I know that for sure by the traffic on Sunday morning. If there were one third as many people going to church on Sunday morning as they are going to work on Monday morning, you'd have some traffic problems. Do you agree? But you see, the whole just seems like that it's just a remnant, and it always will be just a remnant. But it's so exciting when that remnant is multiplied and when we all get to heaven. I just get excited about that great multitude there that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, and they're hollering and carrying on. Salvation is of the Lord. Isn't that exciting? There won't be any blacks or whites or Baptists there.
Right.
Won't be any Pentecostals there. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
You know, I used to wonder, my husband's family was so narrow-minded about the Baptists, I just wondered that there was a place in heaven that says this is reserved for the Baptists. And they were so biased for black people, you know, not just them, but society at large. You know, it was going to be a place where there's going to be, this is the black heaven and this is the white heaven.
Uh-oh.
That's the way they lived.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So, these people cannot see the work of God Almighty in the work of Jesus, his son.
Amen.
If God were your father, he said, you would love me.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. They knew the Ten Commandments. And they claimed God was their father, but Jesus said, you prove that you don't believe that because you don't love me. I proceeded forth and came from God, and nor have I come from myself, but he sent me. Why don't you understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word.
Oh, my.
Now, heard it, they heard it in their ears.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't hear it with their heart.
Mm-hmm.
You hear with your ears, friends, but you have to believe in your heart. Okay? They heard it, but they didn't believe it. Why don't you understand? You are my, you are your father, the devil. I tell you, Jesus didn't come in slack, did he?
That's right.
In the desires of your father, you want to do. He, your father, the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks, he lies, and when he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father lies. Because I tell you the truth, you won't believe me. Which of you corrects me of sin, and if I tell the truth, why don't you believe it? He who is of God hears God's words. Now that, you can put that right today, right here in September 26th. He who is of God hears God's words. And that's not a prophetic word that that's okay, but God's words is what's here. And you read them, you hear them, and you believe them if you are of God. Then, in the next arguments come going on down from verse 48 down through 58. Jesus continued to talk to them. He said, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Well, see, that's just another wonderful blessing, that in him there's everlasting life. He who believes in, and I like what the Amplified says there, he who believes in, relies on, trusts in, and adheres to him. You see, it's more than just saying, yeah, I believe. You could go out on the street and find 10 people say, you believe in Jesus, the Son of God? Most of them say, yeah. Yeah, but they're not on the way to church to demonstrate it. So you have to believe in, trust in, rely on, and adhere to, cling to the Son of God for have everlasting life. And then he goes on, looking down at verse 55. You say you've not known him, but I've known him, and if you say I don't know him, I shall be a liar like you. Whew. But I know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Well, that ticked him off big time. That got him really disturbed. So they said, the Jews said, You are not 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham. And Jesus said, this acts one of the most important, exciting scriptures in all the Bible. Before Abraham was, I am. Isn't that something? Now, I want to go back with you to a couple of places in Genesis, because Abraham really had some interesting experiences with the Lord. He had really had some interesting experiences. The first one we'll talk about is Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. There was a vision, the word of the Lord came to Abraham and said, this one, and he was talking about becoming, would not be your heir, he said. He brought him outside and he said, look toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so your descendants shall be. Now, he had had this conversation, you see, with Abraham. Officially.
Uh-huh.
Dead right. No say that Abraham thought.
Mm-hmm.
But the work that Abraham did is in verse 6. He believed in the Lord and it was counting to him for righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land. And Abraham said, how shall I know I shall inherit it? And then he cut the covenant with him, and we're familiar with that. But we won't spend any more time on that. Now, look at Genesis chapter 22. If you can stay quiet to Genesis 22, man, that is something. That's one of the most beloved stories in all the Bible, but so few people really understand the significance of it. Abraham had given, God had given Abraham a son, Isaac. You know that story. Rebecca was barren. They were old. But he had given him a son in his old age, his son Isaac. He said, you know, he had told him, in a year I'll be back, and Rebecca, we'll conceive, there will be a child. And this is, of course, related to that. So he said to him, take that son and take him up to the mountain and offer him as a burnt offering, the son whom you love. You know, the first two mentions of the word love in the Bible is when Isaac looked at Rebecca, and the Bible said he loved her. So the first instance of love in the Bible is the groom's love for the bride. Come on, you get that labor next week. And the next one is the father's love for the son.
Amen.
Think about it. I heard someone talking about what God endured as he watched from heaven the abuse that they put on Jesus at the cross. I've not really thought about that. When God was aware of what they were doing to his son. But it was in the plan from the very beginning, so he also knew that he was going to raise him up. But imagine watching somebody beat your child. Think about those Russian hostages and those little children and all that that brought out. How horrible mankind can be.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering, and Isaac said, took the fire, and he said, Father, here I am, he said. Here's the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And I want to tell you, if you can sit quietly, while you really realize the impact of this next verse. He said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Can you just think about that now? The lamb will provide for himself the burnt offering. Think about it now. He will provide the lamb, and also, let the thing now, he will provide himself the lamb. The word of God became flesh.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
And dwelt among us.
Yes.
And we beheld his glory.
Uh-huh.
And that same glory that they beheld was the glory of God. And then John Baptist pointed to that same person.
Uh-huh.
And you know what he said? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God."
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Takes away the sin of the world. You see, we've shortchanged our salvation.
Yes.
We have shortchanged the work of Calvary, friends. He took away the sin of the world. The Old Testament prophet Micah said he'd buried it into the sea and cast it away. We should be living demonstrations, and I'm not. I struggle with my flesh. Anybody else? But I'm so thankful he's still working on me, because when I struggle with my flesh and flesh wins, then spirit reminds me, "Flesh, what's the matter with you? Get your head on right."
Amen.
So I'm glad he fusses at me. I'm glad he reminds me. Because I don't want to have come this far and not make it to you. Whom we don't have anything else to hope for. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. The word of the Lord is going to endure forever. So we have an eternal home. He's going to build a mansion for us there. So you see there that Abraham and Isaac and that experience there, when God said he would provide himself a lamb, he did. Isn't that tremendous? He would provide himself a lamb. Look back at Genesis 18. Genesis 18, the Lord appeared to him, this is to Abraham, lifted up his eyes, and he said, three men were standing by him. You know this story here. Three men were standing by him. The Lord there appeared in a man's body, and Abraham saw him, and Abraham heard him speak. So before Abraham appeared on the scene, the Lord was already there.
Amen.
Before Abraham was, Jesus said, "I am." And this is an interesting story. They brought bread. Abraham hurried into the tent and told it to Sarah, said, "Make ready, get some food out." And they ran to the herd, got a tender, good calf, and they hastened to prepare it. They fixed supper, you know, they ate butter and milk. And they said, "Where's Sarah, your wife, if she's in the tent?" Now here's the great promise. "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and your son Sarah, your wife Sarah, will have a son." And of course Sarah laughed at that. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
In the next section of verses, we have to skip here. Verses 16 through 21, Abraham intercedes for Sodom. Verse 22, the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Before Abraham was, the Lord was there. You see, God is one word of deity, but when we find in print the Lord, it has to do with Redeemer. Don't you think? I mean, what I read, that certainly does make sense, doesn't it? I want to read you from the footnotes of the Amplified Bible about that particular passage. This is really good. The word Lord, as applied to God, is obviously the most important word in the Bible. It occurs there oftener than any other important word, by actual count, more than 5,000 times. Nothing is too hard or too wonderful for him when he truly is made Lord. Also in this footnote, on this verse in the Amplified, one of these three guests, remember three men came in? I read that a minute ago and they fixed meal for him. One of these three guests was the Lord, and as God the Father has never seen him And as God the Father was never seen in bodily form. God the Father was never seen in bodily form. He told Moses, no man can see me and live. He said, I want to talk to you, Moses. He said, there's a place over yonder behind the rock.
Oh, I will take my hand
and my hand. Doesn't that tickle you? Moses said, show me your glory. You know God had told Moses that I'm not going to go with these people. To heck with them. They don't obey me, I'm gone. And Moses prayed and prayed and prayed and interceded. And God said, okay, I'll go with you. And then Moses said, O King James says, I beseech thee, show me your glory.
Yes.
And God said, nobody can see me and live. But he said, there's a place over yonder by that rock. This is Exodus 33:34. He said, I'm going to hide you there.
Mm-hmm.
And make all my goodness pass before you. And we sing that old song, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. You see, we need those old hymns because they give yea and amen to so much of the Bible. He hideth my soul. And you know what he showed him? Now, here's the character of God. The Lord God, gracious, merciful, kind, compassionate, forgiving the iniquity. Forgiving the iniquity of the children to the third and fourth generation. God is a forgiving God. And forgiveness is the keynote for salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't forgive, you cannot be forgiven.
Right.
And you see, I want to talk to your son here too about relationships. There are many Christians, I don't know whether there's anybody in here, but there are many Christians who have a bitter resentment towards someone that they have not forgiven. I've heard people say that. I've heard people say, well, I just cannot forgive them. Well, you better.
Yeah.
You better. Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive one another's sins, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your sins. If I say something wrong now, somebody correct me, but that's right, isn't it?
That's right.
If you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. One of these three guests was the Lord, and as God the Father was never seen in bodily form. Only the angel of the covenant, Christ himself, can be met here. Before Abraham was, I am. You know, he could have said, you know, as a matter of fact, I went down and visited with Abraham. And Abraham cooked me a meal. We just had great fellowship and washed my feet, just took good care of me. But we have enough evidence. We have enough. Micah 5:2, if you can find Micah. I'm always reminded that old lady was hunting for the book of Ezra one time, and she hollered out, where's Ezra? Where's Ezra? So Micah's one of those little bitty books back there with Zephaniah and Jonah. I want you to hear a verse and mark a verse, if you can find it. If you don't find it now, I'll find it when you get home. Micah 5. M-I-C-A-H. Chapter 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel. Now here's the line. Whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Do you get that?
Yes.
He'd gone down to Abraham's house. He'd been around, and he would manifest himself in a flesh body. See, Abraham didn't, and Sarah, they didn't cook for a spook or a ghost.
That's right.
These were people.
Uh-huh.
And think about what we read in Genesis 1:26.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, God didn't say, let me make a man. He's, you know what he said? He said, let us.
Uh-huh.
Before Abraham was, I am.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus was there with God in the beginning. And us means me and you. God could have said, come on, Jesus, let me and you make a man. But he didn't say. He said, let us make man in our image. And Adam was in the divine image. He was a perfect person until he disobeyed God. But you know what? That was all in God's plan too. Nothing ever slips up on him, never surprises him. There's no situation he can't take care of. There's no crisis that he can't meet. So don't worry. Seek him and live. You see, with our Bibles in our hand, we have to accept this, but we can't understand it. Do you accept it?
Yes.
Before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as did receive him, he gave power to become the sons of God. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father. He has explained him. Y'all happy?
Yes.
I mean, to me, this is exciting. Amen? But our time is up. Next week, if with your permission.